Hello, welcome to Clinician's Brief Partner Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Katie Berlin, and I'm really excited to dive into a topic today that will sound very familiar to most veterinary professionals. In fact, sometimes I think we kind of gloss over this topic with our clients and teams because most of us have been running fecals, and I'm making air quotes here, since we were just starting out in the field, and it just feels so routine that sometimes I think we don't even think of it as a thing. So that is right. Today we're talking fecal testing. And today's conversation is a special one brought to you by Zoetis VetScan Imagist. And with me today for this conversation is Dr. Corey Penn. Dr. Corey, welcome. Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Katie. And thank you for having me. I sure can. You know, that'll probably be the easiest question we get today. So I received my doctorate of veterinary medicine from the University of Missouri College of Veterinary Medicine following receiving my bachelor's of science from Eastern Illinois University. After veterinary school, I was a small animal veterinarian and later medical director in Central Illinois before transitioning to a field professional services veterinarian role with Abaxis and now Zoetis. I am currently a veterinary diagnostic medical lead for the diagnostic instruments with the Zoetis Global Diagnostics team. And I'm very excited to be with you here, Dr. Katie, to discuss fecal testing. It's a really exciting time with some recent breakthroughs in the technology for fecal testing.
Indeed, it is. It does seem to be an exciting time, and we will definitely get to why that is later. And one thing that we know is always true about working in veterinary medicine is that parasites are a factor. We can't get tired of talking about them or minimize the consequences of a parasitic infection when we're offering recommendations to clients. I mean, they're important, even if sometimes it feels like we've been giving the same message to clients for years and years without much change. Do you feel like that's true?
Yeah, Dr. Katie, you're absolutely right. I think as veterinarians, we, you know, consistently talk with our clients about these recommendations. And that's because when we look at the literature, you know, there have been many studies that have looked at internal parasite prevalence in many different populations of dogs and cats, from stray animals to shelter animals to animals that visit the veterinarian regularly. And in a study published early in 2020, the prevalence of intestinal parasites was evaluated in 288 dog parks from 30 different metropolitan areas across the United States. And in addition to the collection of the feces for testing and determining that parasite prevalence, there was also a set of questions that were asked to the individuals with the dogs at the dog park. And when we look at prevalence, at least one intestinal parasite was detected in 20.7% of the canine fecal samples, and a sample positive for one or more intestinal parasites was found in 245 of the parks, which represented 85% of the parks where the testing was performed. And then when we take that prevalence data and combine that with the questionnaire information from the study, it was found the proportion of dogs reported to be currently receiving heartworm or intestinal parasite control medications was significantly higher in those that had been previously infected with intestinal parasites compared to those without known prior intestinal parasite infections. So I think this is a really interesting finding. And the previous diagnosis really had shown those particular owners the reality of risk with intestinal parasites.
Yeah, that is really interesting and really cool data from that study. But why is it important that we run fecal testing in veterinary medicine on every patient? I mean, with all the parasite preventives on the market and the fact that so many pets never seem to get sick, even if they have parasites, why do we test everybody? And I should note that we're talking mainly about small animal medicine today. But of course, fecal testing is a really big part of large animal medicine as well.
Yeah, Dr. Katie, this is a really good question. And when we think about the fecal examination, it's one of the most common laboratory procedures performed in veterinary hospitals. And as veterinarians, we recommend fecal testing as an important part of a pet's annual examination, because just as we talked about previously, parasitic infections are still present in dogs and cats. When we think about year-round parasiticides, they're excellent preventative medications, but they don't guarantee that pets will not ever have intestinal parasites. And being in veterinary medicine, we're also stewards of human health. And some parasites, when we think about roundworms and hookworms, do have that zoonotic potential. And every year, we have amazing prevalence data available to us through organizations such as the Companion Animal Parasite Council, or CAPC, so we can really visualize what the top threats are in our respective geography. The CAPC recommendations also talk about screening pets at least 4 times during their first year of life by fecal flotation with centrifugation. And then after that first year of life, adult dogs and cats should be screened at least 2 times per year. And that's dependent on patient health and lifestyle factors.
Yeah, so clearly this is not a boring or outdated topic at all, but it feels like the reality in general practice is a little bit more stagnant than that CAPC data would suggest. I mean, I know the practices I've worked at rarely check fecals twice a year, and definitely not 4 times during the first year, unless they have persistent hookworms, for instance, or chronic diarrhea. But parasites are a real threat to animals and humans. And we do, as veterinary professionals, have a responsibility to try to keep pets parasite-free to help protect their people. So what that brings us to fecal testing. What are the most common fecal testing methods that we've been using in veterinary hospitals? Can you elaborate on those a little bit?
Yeah, I think this is a great question, Dr. Katie. And when we think about the different methodologies that are out there, there's a variety of techniques that can be utilized to detect parasite elements in the feces. And when we think about that, no matter which technique is chosen, it's vital. It's really important to ensure that proper methods are utilized. However, fecal flotation with centrifugation is really the gold standard procedure of choice for the concentration of parasites in the feces. Some hospitals may also perform a passive flotation, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But what we look at and see in multiple veterinary studies is that fecal flotation with centrifugation is more sensitive than passive flotation, meaning we have superior recovery rates with centrifugal flotation. And one study that was published in 2009 even concluded that passive fecal flotation examinations run in private practice may be missing up to 50% of infected dogs as a result of either user error and or limitations of the passive flotation technique.
Yikes.
Yeah. So when we think about So when we think about the two different techniques, a passive flotation is where we mix the feces with a flotation solution. We then strain that mixture through a cheesecloth or a strainer to kind of cut down on the debris into a tube. Then we fill that tube up with flotation solution and put a cover slip on top. And then what we do is we just allow gravity to kind of sink the debris to the bottom and float those eggs to those parasite life stages to the top. And then we'll take that cover slip off, put it on a slide and look at it under a microscope. Where centrifugal flotation is a little bit different is it has a similar first steps where the feces and the flotation solutions are combined, filtered, and then topped off with a solution. But then that mixture is centrifuged before the cover slip is taken off and read under the microscope on the slide. And when we think about these techniques, both of these techniques require typically several grams of feces. And when we think about recovery of those parasite life stages, it gets significantly increased with a process of centrifugation because the centrifugal forces are much greater than the gravitational forces applied during passive flotation. And this really matches up with all of the veterinary data we look at. So from the data shown in these experimental veterinary studies, fecal flotation with centrifugation is the procedure of choice for the concentration of parasites from our pet's feces.
This podcast is brought to you by Zoetis Pet Care and their newest diagnostic solution, VetScan Imagist. Zoetis is excited to offer Imagist, this innovative point-of-care platform that's revolutionizing parasite testing. Imagist provides fast, accurate results, enabling you to diagnose and prescribe if necessary at the time of the patient visit, which helps increase compliance. Investigate Imagist today. Talk to your Zoetis representative or visit vetscanimagist.com. That's IMAGYST, vetscanimagist.com. Yeah, I remember being a brand new vet assistant when I had basically no experience at all. And I was the one setting up the passive flotations and reading the slides against this old poster, you know, stuck to the cabinet door like we all have. And I mean, I was definitely missing things. And it wasn't because I wasn't smart or the practice wasn't good. It's just that's not always the job we give to the most experienced, highly trained team members because they have all this other stuff they have to do. And so I definitely get that challenge. And now that we're talking about some of the limitations of the common testing methods, can we talk about some of the other challenges that we encounter with fecal testing? What other types of things can influence how useful our tests actually are in practice?
Yeah, absolutely. When we think about the technical challenges that can influence the accuracy of fecal testing, you know, the kind of the first things to think about is the fundamental technical factors that influence the ability to detect parasites. And that could include how much fecal material we examine. You know, we talked about whether or not we utilize a centrifuge, the choice of flotation solution, and even the length of time the flotation process is allowed. In addition, there's really that personnel factor that centers on the technical proficiency, even when that personnel is following the same exact set of directions. You know, when we think about the personnel, you know, we really got to think about how much time and expertise is required in the evaluation. We all know looking at a fecal slide can be time consuming, and when performed, you know, in a busy clinic, could leave the results open to variation due to maybe getting distracted, or maybe, as you mentioned, Dr. Katie, less experienced staff reading those results.
Yeah.
And when we send that sample off to the reference lab, the bad side of that is we don't have those results immediately available for our clients. And we know that our clients don't want to wait for results, and they want them to be accurate when we give them to them. So that's a huge benefit to doing testing in-house, as we have those results that are available to our customers, because we know that patient care could potentially suffer, you know, if we have to wait for those results or if those results are not accurate. So this all kind of comes into all of those challenges and limitations that we have with fecal testing as we've always known it.
Yeah. And, you know, that was a really good point too, that even with centrifugation making it potentially a little bit more accurate, fecal flotation does take time and expertise to read, whether it's time our team is spending that none of us has right now, let's be honest, or time to send the samples to the lab and then wait. And we're probably missing at least a small number of positive results if we're reading them ourselves simply because we're human. So, Dr. Corey, what is different now when it comes to fecal testing? What do we have access to that we have not had in the past?
Yeah, Dr. Katie, I'm glad you asked this question. So now we have VET scan images, and this is a platform that was developed to provide a simple, easy, and a thorough, consistent fecal examination that's not dependent on the level of expertise or experience of the veterinary professional or examiner. The VET scan images is a platform that's powered by deep learning image recognition technology, which is part of artificial intelligence to help veterinarians make accurate and timely intestinal parasitic diagnoses for patients at the time of the veterinary visit. And as part of this technology, Dr. Katie, it really consists of three different processes. The first process is really the sample preparation, which is performed in an innovative, straightforward sample preparation device. As part of this process, a normally messy and smelly procedure is more contained within a closed system container requiring only 1 gram of feces. And then after that sample preparation, the VET scan images collection system is centrifuged for 2 minutes, which, as we talked about earlier, has been shown in the veterinary literature to be more sensitive than passive flotation. After that centrifugation, that sample is then transferred to a microscope slide with a transfer loop, which is going to collect those parasite life stages that are floating in the top portion of that fecal flotation solution. We're then going to add a customized cover slip that allows for a thorough, customized scan of the cover slip at optimized depths, which is really the second process that occurs. And then once the scan is complete, the final process and kind of the secret sauce is the analysis and reporting that's done within the cloud to identify, locate, and classify common internal parasite egg cysts and oocysts using a deep learning artificial intelligence algorithm. And once that analysis is complete, those quantitative results with images of classified common internal parasite egg cysts and oocysts are available for review by the veterinary professional.
Okay, so that's super cool. And I would like to just give the designers of this device a shout out first for it not being messy and you only need a gram of feces. Although we all know that the same people will still bring in those poop samples that are the size of a small cat, but you can't do anything about that. But it is totally amazing that the machine does the scanning and the identification for you. That is just incredibly cool. So other than not making a mess and not needing a ton of sample, what are the pain points that this new technology can address?
You know, one of the main points we talked a little bit about earlier is that expert level analysis. So this technology provides expert level analysis every single time it is run. In two verification studies, Dr. Katie, this device was shown to be comparable to conventional centrifugal flotation as read by an expert, that is a clinical parasitologist, with manual microscopy. In addition, we know that the sample prep device performs similar with cat samples, which we all know have different fecal consistencies from dogs due to their diet. It was also concluded in the two studies that the algorithm, the identification algorithm, performed well versus an expert clinical parasitologist evaluating the sample with expert focus and attention, something that is not likely being done with each and every internal parasite screen in everyday practice due to time constraints and differing levels of training and experience among our veterinary team members. So if anyone is interested in looking at this data, these verification studies were published in Parasites and Vectors in July 2020 and February 2020, and you can find them as the Nagamori et al. Studies, as they are open access.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, to compare it to a clinical parasitologist and have it perform that well, it doesn't matter how well you train your team. Like, it's hard sometimes to be able to evaluate whether everyone's reading a sample the same in a given practice. And we are all just so busy right now.
Exactly. It saves time because the team members don't have to read those samples manually. And the whole process takes about 15 minutes from start to finish. The sample can be prepared, which includes that 2-minute centrifugation, in about 5 minutes. And then the scan takes only about 9 minutes with an appropriate internet upload speed. The hands-on time for the veterinary professional is minimal after sample collection and preparation because the scanner is taking the image of the slide and the algorithm is providing the analysis instead of having a veterinary professional do all of that with a microscopic analysis. And this allows our veterinary team members to do other things while that scanning and analysis of the slide is taking place.
Yeah, 15 minutes. I mean, that's like a whole nail trim appointment. You know, you can get stuff done in 15 minutes, unless right. It's a pug and then all bets are off. It's like an Olympic sport doing those pug nail trims. Right. But that time factor is just so important, especially nowadays when our teams are just maxed out. So if we can do in-house tests with a rapid turnaround and not have to wait for results, then that can mean happier clients and better patient care.
Yeah, exactly. And that's our ultimate goal, right? The VetScan Imagist report is a shareable PDF, and that provides immense value to a veterinary hospital, but also to our veterinary clients for a test that may not historically have had the highest perception of value for our veterinary clients. This report can be shared within the VetScan Imagist web application, but also can be sent into the practice management software as well.
Yeah, we love shareable PDFs. I mean, Ellis, we love anything we can give to the client, you know, and let them feel like part of the process right now, especially with so much curbside care going on.
Yeah, the results, Dr. Katie, you're absolutely right. When we think about the VetScan Imagist results, you know, it definitely provides benefits not only to the hospital, but also to the clients. Veterinary hospitals and teams can really benefit from the automatic upload of that final report into their practice information management system. our software, such as can be done as if they were sending out to a reference lab for analysis. And this is really obviously very different in a much improved workflow to what is currently being done if we're doing in-hospital fecal evaluations. And this will help decrease the overall workload for the veterinary staff and really decrease transcription errors versus that manual input. It also provides trending data, images to have and review, which are especially important in those positive cases that are being treated. And VetScan Images provides images of those parasite eggs, cysts, and oocysts that can be shared with clients to provide value and act as an educational tool. When we think about the veterinary client, a negative test can provide peace of mind regarding their pet's health and can be celebrated. If the test is positive, we can go ahead and initiate that treatment immediately, and that may help with owner compliance with the treatment and preventative measures in the future. Also, the report allows for an increase in that perception of value of the fecal examination. So on the report, there are actual pictures so the client can actually see any parasite eggs, cysts, and oocysts that's been detected in their pet's feces.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there have been so many times where I've wanted to take a picture of things to show clients during curbside. And that perception of value is right now is even more important than ever. I know it is so hard on clients when they can't see what we're doing or see what we're seeing. Even when they do get to be in the exam room, they're not looking in the microscope with us, you know? So we have visual aids for the clients, which is great. And we get fast results without having the team spend a ton of time on each sample. But what about what happens if Imagist finds parasites that it doesn't classify? Like if it happens, will it read those as something else or will it say it doesn't know? You know, like the blood analyzers can sometimes read blood cells as a different type if it's an abnormal size or shape.
Yeah, great question, Dr. Katie. So VetScan Imagist can identify hookworms with ancillostomous species in dogs and cats, roundworms with Toxocara species in dogs and cats, whipworms with Trichuris vulpis in dogs, Cystoisospora in dogs and cats, Tanidae tapeworms in dogs and cats, and Giardia species in dogs and cats. So the way that the AI works is that it provides a confidence score for each object to match to those six different targeted parasites that we just talked about, which are the common ones that we see as veterinarians. If the confidence score is below that confidence threshold, then that report would not be shown, or that object in the report would not be shown to the veterinary user. So for example, if a confidence score is given to a non-targeted egg, and that, you know, that confidence score is 59% for a given category, but the confidence threshold is 99.5% for that group, this would not be reported to the user. But every time a scan is performed, the user has the ability to look at a whole slide image. If there's a concern that there's a parasitic element or a type of parasite that's present that is not a targeted parasite identified by the VetScan Imagist. And what is amazing is that a huge benefit of the image recognition technology that's utilized by the VetScan Imagist is that it's able to evolve. So over time, parasites or other images that can be viewed on the microscope scanner can be added outside of the current six targeted parasites that are currently classified by the system with expert classification and algorithm training.
That is totally amazing. Like the idea of it evolving, it's knowledge evolving. We like to joke about robots and AI taking over one day, but I do think it's probably safe to say that veterinary team members are just super tired right now and would not mind some AI doing some of our jobs for us. It seems like we as a profession are just fighting burnout more than ever after a year of this COVID crazy. So in this last Keep It Brief segment, I would like to ask Dr. Corey, do you have any other workflow or efficiency tips to help out our teams?
First, I want to, you know, extend a huge thank you to all those on the front lines taking care of our beloved pets. It is truly been inspiring to see how veterinary professionals have persevered and provided the highest quality of care during this pandemic. As we spend much of our time caring for others as veterinarians, one piece of advice that has always resonated with me is to ensure that we always take time to have some time and take care of ourselves as well, Dr. Katie.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. And I think we too often forget it during these kind of crazy times, but it's so important for us to remember. So thank you so much for this information today, Dr. Corey. This is just really cool technology, and it's been really great to talk about it with you. We appreciate you being here today so much.
Well, Dr. Katie, thank you for having me. It was an absolute pleasure to talk with you. And it was great to spend time with you.
The pleasure is definitely mine. And also, we would like to thank Zoetis VetScan Imagist for making this conversation possible. And thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks again to our sponsor and to today's guest for joining us. And thanks to you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. While you're there, please make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review. We would appreciate if you leave us all of the stars. You can also listen to podcasts on our website at cliniciansbrief.com/podcasts. And you can drop us a line at podcasts@briefmedia.com. Clinicians Brief Partner Podcasts is a Brief Media production.